Hello, and welcome to Catholicism in the Car. My name is Parker Zerba. Alrighty. Good morning, or afternoon, or evening, or night, whatever it might be, to all of you listening. So, yeah, it's morning for me right now. I'm on my way to work. I want to continue our discussion from last episode on apologetics and also just how to have an irenic disposition, a peaceful disposition during apologetics. And I want to give a further explanation of what I meant by saying that I don't like scriptural battles. So first, I want to touch on that scriptural battles part. I want to make it clear that I don't think it's bad to do these things, to get into discussions or arguments, debates over the meaning of scripture. It's quite an important topic, but I think it's a topic that is really only fruitful if people have certain premises that they already agree upon, presuppositions that they already agree upon. So a Catholic talking with a Catholic, or even a Catholic with an Orthodox, are, I think, much more able to have a good discussion or debate about scripture than a Catholic or an Orthodox versus a Protestant, because the Catholic and the Orthodox have completely different presuppositions, premises about what scripture is than does the Protestant. And so debating about the intricacies of scripture is not going to be terribly helpful between those two overarching groups. The Protestant will generally take a position of sola scriptura. Now, some do take, and I've talked about this before, if you go back to the episodes I did on Protestantism and sola fide, I know that they might not be the best quality because I didn't have a very good mic at that time, so maybe I'll revisit them, those topics, and we can rediscuss them, because I think they're very important topics. So some Protestants, yes, do believe in prima scriptura, which means that they put scripture first above tradition and, you know, above whatever sort of teaching authority their church may claim to have or not claim to have. So in that regard, some Protestants do have more of an understanding, share more of an understanding of scripture with Catholics and the Orthodox. And by Orthodox here, I mean either Eastern Orthodox or the Oriental Orthodox, the Oriental Orthodox being the ones that split off. I think it was both after the Council of Exodus and Ephesus. Council of Ephesus in 431, and also the Council of Chalcedon, I think Chalcedon was the next council after. Again, don't test me on my dates and the chronology of these things, people. I probably should know it better, and I'll work on that, but you can look it all up. If you want to find out what year the Council of Ephesus or Chalcedon was, you can look those things up. But those Oriental Orthodox were those that broke off after those councils, so pretty early on. It was one of the first major schisms that lasts until today. And it includes churches like the Assyrian Church of the East. It also includes the Coptic Orthodox and some others, the Ethiopian Orthodox. So, whereas the Eastern Orthodox are generally lumped together as being those who broke away, or, you know, it was a mutual split, I would argue. It's a mutual split that happened in 1054, thereabout, is kind of when it started, and it was really solidified in 1204 with the Crusaders, the European Crusaders sacking Constantinople, which really kind of created a big rift between the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholics. So, and that union has tried to have been resolved multiple times. I think it was the Second Council of Lyon in the late 1200s, St. Bonaventure was actually at that council and died during it, if I'm not mistaken. Also at the Council of Basil, Ferrara, Florence, which I believe was in the 1400s, if my memory is recalling correctly, there was also an attempted reunion there. And at both of those councils, reunion was actually achieved, to my knowledge. But once the council was disbanded, people kind of quickly came back to their old thoughts about things. The schism was renewed. And also, if I haven't said this yet on the podcast before, with the Eastern Orthodox, the schism is actually technically non-existent anymore. I think it was Pope John Paul II and whoever was the patriarch at the time. They always have really complex names, and it's hard for me to remember their names. Whoever was the ecumenical patriarch at the time, the patriarch of Constantinople, they came to an agreement and said, yeah, the schism is lifted. We lift the mutual excommunications, which pretty much means the schism is gone, but we're kind of in an irregular state with each other. We're in a disunited state, but it's not a schismatic, excommunicable sort of a state anymore between the Eastern Orthodox and the Catholics, whether that be Roman Catholic or Eastern Catholic. All of those Catholics who are in communion with the Pope of Rome. So anyway, sorry, that was a long tangent. I want people to know more about the Orthodox. I think they're an incredibly important Christian body. And in the United States, we often overlook them because they're such a small group. And worldwide, they're a fairly small group as well. But they're an incredibly important group. I would argue they're one of the true churches. All those churches with apostolic succession, I would classify, and I know a lot of other Catholics would classify, as true churches. They're just in disunified states with the Church of Rome, is basically how we would categorize it. Anyway, that was a long tangent. All of that to say that I don't think that Catholics and Orthodox can have very fruitful discussions when we're just talking about Scripture, because we're coming at Scripture from completely different angles. Basically, the Catholic and the Orthodox will look at Scripture and say it's divinely inspired, it's inerrant, but we don't take it as our sole source for revelation. Then again, most Protestants do take a sola scriptura sort of a view, which would say that Scripture is our sole only form of revelation. But some do take a prima scriptura view, which would put Scripture first, and then tradition and potentially other things below that. And I think those Protestants that do acknowledge prima scriptura, I think they're being a little more intellectually honest, because every human community has traditions, and every church has extra-biblical beliefs, or at least disputed biblical beliefs, where, there are multiple interpretations that can be taken from a text, and it's disputed on what the correct interpretation is. This is why there's so many splinter groups within Protestantism in particular, because of the sole focus, the main focus on Scripture there, and that revelation comes only from Scripture. And so, you end up having all these interpretational disputes. And I would argue that's a large reason why our Lord Jesus Christ set up the Orthodox Church and the Catholic Church in the models that they have of Scripture, tradition, and magisterium. So, all right, I guess that was kind of a tangential episode, so I apologize, but I hope it was interesting for you. I hope to really make clear a lot of these differences here between different Christian groups in order to show, which ones have the right thinking about them, which ones have the right way of going about things, I guess, and which one will bring people to the clearest amount of truth. So, I realize that's a pretty big claim, but I'm going to make it. So, all right, God bless y'all. Real quick, please feel free to subscribe to any of my podcasts on any of the podcast players. Find me on YouTube. Please subscribe. Like me on Facebook, like the Catholicism Car channel on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We're all there, Catholicism Car. And then I also have a Patreon account if you wish to support what I do at this podcast and this YouTube channel. And you can also support us on anchor.fm. There's a support button there you click on. I also have links to all of this on my website's support page at www.catholicisminthecar.com.